Hey, this is Colleen Power Kupka in Scottsdale, Arizona. Welcome to Rejuvenate Your Hormones and Wellness. So how are you today? I'm recording in the morning as I'm really excited. I'm going to be going off to a hormone conference this weekend and really good information coming our way that I can come back and share with you. So yeah, I'm excited to go and to learn all this stuff. So what I want to talk about today, I want to talk about testosterone, breaking down myths, and discussing protective benefits for women. Did you know that testosterone has been used for over 80 years to treat perimenopause and menopause symptoms? And in fact, even in England and Australia, they've been doing it for over 60 years. So testosterone is not a new drug, right? It's not a new hormone, but yet, really? There is no testosterone FDA approval for therapy for women in the U.S. And at the end of this, I'm hoping that you'll kind of scratch your head and go, why is that? And testosterone is essential for women's health and well-being. And there are so many different ways in which it can help us. And that's what I want to talk about today. So I found this great paper and I thought, you know what, this is great for the topic. And I wanted to start talking about the myths and misconceptions out there. And actually, the paper is called Testosterone Therapy in Women, Myths and Misconceptions, and it was done in 2013. So let's roll through some of those myths. Myth number one, testosterone is a male hormone. No, it's not. We've always had a lot of testosterone in our body as we throughout our whole life as women. Matter of fact, it's tenfold higher units than estradiol. Myth number two, testosterone masculinizes females, really? Do you know that there are a lot of women out there that are not being masculinized by testosterone? You can look around, you probably can't even tell that they're on it. And testosterone, though, it's still dependent. And in the lower doses, you know, it really stimulates a more feminine look. Higher doses, yes, they can increase facial hair and slight enlargement of the clitoris. Sometimes I don't hear that so often. But really, most women are going to deal with it either by backing down on the dose or maybe for the unwanted hair, we order like some spironolactone, which will help with that. How about this one? The only reason why you should use testosterone as a woman is to increase your sex drive and libido. Well, sometimes that works, but I can tell you sometimes, you know, you're not seeing an increase in libido, but there are so many other benefits other than libido, meaning that we have so many receptor sites in our body that needs testosterone. How about this one? Testosterone causes hoarseness and voice changes. Do you hear my voice? I'm on testosterone. It doesn't seem like it's hoarse, does it? Kidding around. But at any rate, hoarseness in common affect it only 30% of persons at some point in their life, with a 6.6% chance of the adult population are affected at any given time by hoarseness. And most of the time, it's due to inflammatory issues such as allergies. Man, in the desert here, it can happen. A lot of dust some days. Infectious or chemical laryngitis, reflux. You use your voice a lot. Occasionally that happens to me. Mucosal tears, medication, and vocal cord polyps. There is absolutely no evidence that testosterone causes hoarseness or irreversible vocal cord changes in women. So myth number five is that testosterone causes hair loss. There is no evidence that testosterone therapy is a cause of hair loss in either men or women. And hair loss is quite complicated. It can be multifactorial. It can be due to genetic, you know, issues. It's just poorly understood. Some women with PCOS and insulin resistance, they have higher levels of testosterone and do have hair loss. This does not prove, though, causation. And then obesity and insulin resistance increases the 5-alpha reductase, which increases T to this thing called DHT, which is dihydrotestosterone, and in the hair follicle. And then obesity and age, alcohol, medication, that can all be a problem too. What it does is increases the DHT, lowers the testosterone and elevates the estrogen levels, which can cause hair loss. And approximately one-third of women experience hair loss with declining testosterone. Get that. And then there was also a study where 285 patients were treated for hair loss with subcutaneous testosterone. And it was found that patients would have actually hair regrowth. And those that did not were found more likely to due to hypo or hyperthyroidism or iron deficiency or a higher body mass. So myth number six, testosterone has adverse effects on the heart. There is absolutely no evidence that testosterone has adverse effects on the heart. However, there is overwhelming evidence that it is cardiac protective. Testosterone has beneficial effects on our lean body mass, glucose metabolism, and lipid profiles. It has been successful in treating diabetes and cardiovascular disease. Low T is associated with increased heart disease and mortality from all causes. Breaking myth number seven, testosterone causes liver damage. Non-oral testosterone does not adversely affect the liver or increase clotting factors. Actually, get this, there are only three cases of liver cancer with people being treated with high-dose oral synthetic methyl testosterone. That is not what we use. So again, non-oral testosterone does not adversely affect the liver or increase clotting factors. Myth number eight, testosterone causes aggression. False. It's exactly opposite. It actually decreases aggression, irritability, anxiety for over 90% of patients treated. Myth number nine, testosterone may increase the risk of breast cancer. False. It actually has a beneficial effect on breast tissue by decreasing breast proliferation and preventing stimulation from estrogen. It is protective towards the breast. It does not increase breast cancer. Myth number 10, the safety of testosterone use in women has not been established. Say what? We've been using it since 1938, and long-term data states it's safe and tolerable up to 225 milligrams. I don't have any woman on 225 milligrams, but it is safe according to evidence. So where is testosterone produced in a woman? Well, it's produced in the ovaries and the adrenal glands. Signals from the pituitary gland in the brain direct the production of testosterone. And the pituitary gland monitors and controls the level of testosterone in the interest of maintaining our overall good health. Did you know that premenopausal women have a significant level of testosterone than estradiol, as we've been talking about right here, right? Why is it then we go back that, again, why is it that they think it's a male hormone? It's just not. As I was talking about, that we have testosterone receptor sites throughout our entire body, such as in our tissues, the breast, the heart, our blood vessels, our gastrointestinal tract, our lungs, our brain, our spinal cord, our peripheral nerves, our bladder, our uterus, it goes on and on, ovaries, endocrine glands, vaginal tissues, our skin, our bones, our bone marrow, our adipose tissues. So by the time a woman is 40 years old, her testosterone levels have decreased in half, and many will have signs and symptoms and may not even know it. And sadly, she may hit her primary care's office with symptoms, and they will not pick up on the fact that she is testosterone deficient. Instead, the primary provider might recommend alternative therapies, and nothing wrong with that. However, it's not going to help with low testosterone. In those treatments, they may suggest sex therapy, taking steps to manage stress, getting enough sleep, eating a healthful diet, antidepressants, behavioral health. This is a person that does not know hormones. And that woman should probably look elsewhere, is my thought. At any rate, did you also know that women that are taking birth control pills have lower testosterone levels? So that very much could be the issue when she hits the primary care's office. And studies have found that the use of combined oral contraceptives increase what they call SHBG, which is sexual hormone binding globulin. And what it does is it binds up the testosterone. And so the woman cannot use it. So that's what happens with birth control. So symptoms may be low energy, brain fog, weight gain. Medications that can lower testosterone levels, like I said, hormone contraceptives, corticosteroids, anti-androgen medications, oral estrogen therapy, and opioids. What are some of the signs and symptoms of testosterone deficiency? Well, it can be anxiety, irritability, depression, fatigue, memory loss, brain fog, insomnia, hot flashes, vaginal dryness, urinary issues, incontinence, and sexual dysfunction. You know, I have women come in all the time and they're like, am I getting dementia? Because some of these symptoms are the same thing of having a lack of hormones, right? And actually, I did a talk, which was last week, talking about dementia and hormones. And it's found that actually by adding hormones back into the life may very well help, or, you know, not going off of them. Like sometimes they're like, hey, you know, go off of them, you're at a certain age. No, the protection stops. So at any rate, many of those symptoms, you know, happen in dementia, but in dementia, it's a little bit different, of course. However, they're finding that when hormones are added back, it can may help. Okay. Testosterone plays an important role in fertility, sex drive, red blood cell production, muscle mass, regulates other hormones, improves our health, you know, improves our bone health, decreases our cholesterol, improves the skin tone and collagen. Hey, less days at the spa, maybe. Well-being and psychological status, of course, memory enhancer. It protects our cardiovascular system, the things that we were talking about with the myths. Strength and endurance, improved energy, improved sexual function. Diseases that are linked to low testosterone, and yes, there are many, obesity, obstructive sleep apnea, cardiovascular disease, metabolic syndrome, diabetes, hypertension, COPD, kidney disease, and cancer. So these can wipe out our testosterone levels where we just don't feel good. So why are we thinking about bioidentical hormones? Well, lower insulin resistance, protect our heart, protect our brain, protect our breasts. It decreases the harmful cardiovascular risks that we're talking about, decreases the lipoprotein, or the increases the beneficial lipoprotein, decreases the bad one, and improves our memory. You know what? What drug does all of this? But you know, there's not a lot of money into hormones, is there? So let's go through some of those studies. So the first study, it is called Serum Testosterone Levels Do Not Correlate with Symptoms of Testosterone Deficiency in Women. Optimal ranges of serum testosterone levels have not been established. So exactly right. So established reference ranges for total testosterone, free testosterone, pre-androgen levels like hormones like DHEA, below which a woman might be considered androgen deficient, lacks scientific literature. Exactly right. There is no literature on it. So what might be normal for one person may not be normal for another person. But I kind of want to talk to you about, now think of this, when you're looking at your lab results, right, and it's going to give you a distinguished range, we'll just say 2 to 300. And you have to remember with when you're looking at a lab value, right? They're taking a pool of people and they're in your age range. Now, are they on hormones? Are they not on hormones? What I am going to say is if you are on hormones and you're a 56-year-old woman, you're not going to have hormones. So it's going to come across what? High. So that's kind of, so whenever you see these numbers, don't go, oh my gosh, it's high. No, it should be if you're on hormones. But even at that, we don't know that pool of people what the normal should be. Now, for me as a practitioner, what I like to do is I like to look at your symptoms. What are your symptoms? I don't care about the level. I mean, I do, but I don't. Meaning, I want to know your symptoms and I'm looking at your body. Do you have visceral fat that I want to tear down and that kind of thing? Do you have high cholesterol levels? I want to tear them down. So I'm going to work with you on a goal. You know, what do we want to do? Do we want to take off some of that visceral fat? You know, so lab values are just that. They're really, when I do labs, it's just something for me to take a look at and work with you to set a plan. And everyone's different. Okay. Everyone's different. Now, there was a study in the Journal of Menopause in 2007, and what was talking about is that testosterone therapy may be breast protective. And they were saying that testosterone inhibits estrogen and progesterone and induce breast cell proliferation in postmenopausal women. So at the very end of it, again, they were talking about the fact that it could be very well breast protective versus causing cancer. Now, there's another study out there called Breast Cancer Incidence Reduction in Women Treated with Subcutaneous Testosterone, Testosterone Therapy, and Breast Cancer Incidence Study. It was done in 2021, and it was done over a 9-year period of time. They went back retrospectively and took a look and found that it was demonstrated that there was a 35.5% reduction in invasive breast cancer in both testosterone pellet and a testosterone estradiol pellet. So what I will say about this is great news, right? And I will also say that today we're also utilizing testosterone injections subcutaneously. So it also keeps up a high, you know, level of testosterone. So, you know, either way, you know, I think it's good. I think sometimes with testosterone pellets, personally, you get in, you put the pellet in, you get a spike, and then you're coming down. So my own personal thought is if you're injecting subcutaneously 3 times a week, you're not coming down. However, I will say I do pellets. I like pellets, but I do think it's important for patients to realize that there is more than one way of doing things, meaning you don't always have to have a pellet. You can inject subcutaneously and probably get a better effect, in my opinion, because it's constant level. And that's what they were talking about in the study. But I do pellets, and they are appropriate for some people that really, really like them. So another study out there in 2011, it is a study named Beneficial Effects of Testosterone Therapy in Women Measured by the Validated Menopause Rating Scale. What they did is they found out that there actually was very many benefits of therapy on somatic, psychologic, and urological complaints in both pre- and post-menopausal women. What they did is they wanted to take a look at 11 different symptoms that were on the questionnaire. And we've talked about some of this, but do you relate to any of this? So these are the questions. Do you have hot flashes? Do you have heart discomfort? Do you have sleep problems, difficulty falling asleep, sleeping throughout the night, depressive mood, irritability, feeling down, lack of drive, or maybe just some mood swings, anxiety, inner restlessness, feeling panicky, physical and mental exhaustion, sexual problems, dryness of the vagina. So what did they find with all of this? That through hormone therapy, there was significant improvement. So yes, it's real. It does help. Now, testosterone may be cardioprotective, which we've talked about, right? So here's a study in the Journal of Endocrinology in 2007. Testosterone may increase cardiovascular risk in women. However, what they found out was exactly the opposite, that it was protective. Testosterone is protective. It decreases the atherosclerosis. It protects against it. So really, really important, right? Another study in 1984, quite the ways back, don't you think? At any rate, noted that testosterone therapy has beneficial effects on lean body mass, glucose metabolism, lipid profiles in both men and women, and has been successfully used to treat and prevent cardiovascular disease. So again, you know, a hormone that doesn't cost much, it continues to show all the way back to 1984 that they truly do some help, right? Another study in the Journal of Atherosclerosis in 2009, it was called The Effects on Risk Factors for and the Mediators of the Atherosclerotic Process. And then during that study, it was noted there was overwhelming biological and clinical evidence that testosterone supplementation is cardioprotective. in 2014 in the Journal of Climatic, a study called Androgens and Cardiovascular Disease in Postmenopausal Women, a systemic review. There was evidence of favorable effects of androgens on cardiovascular markers in postmenopausal women, such as the HDL, the cholesterol, total cholesterol, body fat, and the triglycerides. So one more thing, right? And I have seen this in, you know, just within my practice. It is a great tool on trying to help bring down those lipid levels and the apolipoprotein B and to increase the HDL. So over time, it does increase the HDL. When a person first goes on testosterone, what can happen is the HDL can come down, but over time, it's going to come back up. Now, the next study, it is in the Journal of Front Neuroendocrinology, and the title of it is Protective Actions of Sex Steroid Hormones in Alzheimer's Disease. And in this study, it was reported that the loss of sex steroids in women is associated with an increased risk of Alzheimer's disease. Like estrogen, it was found that testosterone was neuroprotective and that it protects the brain. Also, testosterone increases neural resistance to the insult of Alzheimer's disease, and it reduces the neural cell apoptosis, preserving the lifespan of the neurons, as well as the reduction of beta amyloid production and accumulation. Now, listen to this next study. All I can say is, wow. Right? So this one was in the Behavioral Brain Research, and it was in 2016. The title is Changes in Spatial Cognition and Brain Activity in Healthy Women After a Single Testosterone Dose. And what they did is they nasally applied it through a spray. The group that was treated had significantly higher MRT scores or mental rotation task scores than the placebo group. And then another study in 2011, it was called Testosterone Improves Verbal Learning and Memory in Postmenopausal Women, results from a pilot study, and they demonstrated that healthy postmenopausal women receiving testosterone spray for 26 weeks showed a significant improvement in verbal and learning and memory scores. How about that? So every one of us, as far as I'm concerned, as we get older, maybe that might be a good thing, right, if we're not on hormones. Now, this next study, you just got to love because it is talking about bone health. In this clinical article, it said total free estrogens and androgens in postmenopausal women with hip fracture. And they found women that had hip fractures actually had low total serum testosterone levels. Also, they found that lower androgen levels were associated with reduced bone mass density at the hip, which increases hip fracture and loss of height. So upon height loss, it is a surrogate marker for vertebral compression and osteoporotic fractures. Here's another one. Testosterone enhances estradiol's effect on postmenopausal bone density and sexuality. In this study, concluded that postmenopausal women treatment with both testosterone and estradiol implants, it was more effective increasing bone mineral density. How about that? Now, there's one more that I really wanted to talk about, and it is a study of adverse outcomes in women using testosterone therapy. And it was quite a large group. And what they found out is there was no significant risk in cardiovascular disease or breast cancer in those women using testosterone. So maybe they were doing implants, tablets, or injections. And there is no difference between the cohorts and the rates of cerebrovascular disease, heart disease, breast, deep vein thrombosis, pulmonary embolus, or diabetes. So at that rate, I mean, you look at all this stuff, guys, right? Girls and guys, girls. Testosterone. It is something important. It's not just about, you know, libido and that kind of thing. Although, don't get me wrong. I mean, that's really great, right? But look at all the awesome things it can do for our health. And without it, you know, we can end up being not feeling so well, right? And this is the thing, everything I'm learning about hormone therapy throughout the years is the sooner that you're in menopause, the better off you are on getting it right away. Don't let the window go long. But I will also tell you, there is no age limit, Okay, there really, really isn't. So I know that there are some people out there that think that you should stop because you're at a certain age. That's just not the case, because when you stop, guess what? It rolls back and you have no more protection. So that is my thought. So any rate, pretty fantastic. When you look at all the data that is out there, right? Pretty cool. And at that note, I want to say thank you so much for joining me. I really appreciate it. I enjoy these podcasts so much. And in no way here, though, should you take this as medical advice. The information here is of my opinion and my thoughts and entertainment. It is not meant to prescribe medical advice. If you have questions for treatment, please address it with your provider. On that note, make sure to subscribe to the podcast so you can receive new episodes right when they're released. You can either subscribe right now in the app you're using to listen to this podcast, or you can sign up for an email. And if you do like it, give me a star, well, or two or three or four. I would really appreciate it. And the other thing that I really want to ask is if there's anything that you want me to cover, I am more than happy to do it. Also, please let Apple, Spotify, that you enjoy the show. And so that way we can get, you know, more episodes out there and people can pull us up in the search results. So also to let you know, we have an office in Scottsdale, Arizona, and it is Rejuvenate Hormone and Weight Loss Center. It is concierge, and that's how we're going to keep it. We like to be really close to our patients because everything is custom. It is not a one size fit all. Check out our website, rejuvenatemyhormones.com. Look for us next week. And thank you again so much. Cheers to a week of rejuvenating your hormones and health.